You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of what has been an absolute frenzied night. It started off with a participant of the Boston Marathon. Sam Bushman and Eddie the Bombardier Miller were just pure dynamite tonight, offering our unique opinion and analysis on what happened in Boston last week, and moving on through to yesterday and today with regards to that situation. Confederate History Month, second hour. During the third hour, we're going to get to a lot of varied news stories. We're going to have a variety hour here. But before we get into that, we've got a lot to get to this hour. Keith's going to wrap up some final parting thoughts on what he was covering during the last hour, and then we're going to revisit that next week for the last time as well.
Okay, James, let's do it real quick. Thumbnail sketch. The Civil War was not about slavery primarily. If someone challenges you on that, mention the Corwin, C-O-R-W-I-N, amendment, which was the proposed 13th Amendment to the Constitution. If the South had not seceded, it undoubtedly would have been passed into law and been part of the U.S. Constitution as the 13th Amendment. And it said that slavery would remain forever legal and inviolate in all states and territories where it was then legal. So, Corwin Amendment answers slavery. Well, if the Civil War was not about slavery, what was it about? It was about economic and political domination permanently by the North against the South. And the economic domination, the answer to that, show me some economic domination, the answer to that is the Morrill, M-O-R-R-I-L-L, tariff, sponsored by a congressman from Vermont, Justin Smith Morrill. The Morrill tariff was going to effectively double the tariff rate for manufactured goods sold to Americans. And of course, the vast majority of the foreign manufactured goods bought by Americans were being bought by Southerners because Southerners were selling their agricultural products to Europeans, Germans, Frenchmen, and in particular the English. And the English, the Germans, and the French insisted that the South buy their manufactured goods or else they wouldn't trade with them. At the time, England, for example, was already exploring alternative sources of cotton for their cotton mills. They were growing cotton in Egypt. They were growing cotton in the Indian subcontinent. That's where Madras cloth came from. If you came of age in the 50s and 60s like I did, you knew about Madras plaid shirts. They were all the rage. Well, Madras refers to Madras, India, which was the focus of the cotton growing area in India. So consequently, the Morrill tariff doubled the rate of the tariff from around 25% to 47%. And what people don't realize about the Morrill tariff is that it survived the Civil War. In fact, it was the effective tariff rate. It set the effective tariff rate on foreign manufactured goods coming into America into the 20th century. And it is a primary reason why the South never recovered economically from the Civil War, at least not until the 20th century. And I don't think it's totally recovered to this date. On the eve of the Civil War, guess what state had the highest per capita income of any state in the Union? The same state that now has the lowest per capita income and has, and is always the butt of everybody's jokes, the state of Mississippi. Mississippi, can you imagine this, had the highest per capita income of any state in the Union prior to the Civil War. After Reconstruction, after the Civil War, after the continued suppression and holding down of the Southern economy by the Morrell Tariff, Mississippi went from first to last. Now, what were some of the other effects of the Civil War? The Civil War made the South mad as hell, and Southerners, because they were the first people against whom unconditional warfare was waged. The wanton destruction of crops, the killing of livestock, and even more. Remember, Union Brigadier General James Lane of Missouri, "We believe in a war of extermination. I want to see every foot of ground burned over, everything laid waste." Okay? Then William Tecumseh Sherman wrote that rebel farms should be given to immigrants from the North. "Enemies must be killed or transported to some other country," he said. "Deported Missourians left their state in mile-long wagon trains laden with household effects. Foraging Yankees robbed and killed them on the way. One report speaks of a road crowded with women and children, women walking with their babies in their arms, packs on their backs, and four or five children following after them." These are the people that settled the interior West, fleeing the devastation of the Civil War and Reconstruction. That's why the interior West is Red State America. People in the West think like Southerners. It's been said that the West is the South without a race problem. That's why the same stock of people that populated the South settled the West. That's why all the cowboys and the old Westerners spoke with Southern accents. Well, James, there's a lot more we could talk about on this, but I wanted to, go. Oh, let me say this one more thing. Secession. Most Americans prior to the Civil War took it for granted that secession was a right of the states. There's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits secession, and remember, the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, which was in effect then, said that any rights not given to the federal government are reserved to the people and the states, and most people assumed that one of those rights was the right of secession. Jefferson and Madison in the Virginia and the Kentucky resolutions went so far as to say explicitly that secession was a right. New England was the first section of the nation that rumbled about secession in the Hartford Convention around the time of the War of 1812. So the idea that secession was some type of illegitimate idea is exploded by people that know the real history of the era.
All right, thank you, Keith Alexander. And again, next week, folks, we have one more hour in our Confederate History Month series for 2013, and Keith will be here with us for that. Here's how the rest of the show is going to play out. We're coming up on a commercial break, but after that, we're going to use the last three segments tonight to cover as many stories as we can, because we've got a lot of vast and varied news we want to get to. And it's going to be a rapid-fire segment. Now, that's not necessarily everybody has their strengths. Keith's is holding court. He likes to get an issue and sink his teeth into it. It's going to be rapid fire. We're going to see if we can do it. We're going to put on our running shoes. Here we go when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, it's rapid fire here on out, all the way through the end of the hour. We're going to cover as many stories as we can, and here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to set up the story, then I'm going to turn it over to Keith. But as I said, Keith's an attorney by trade, so he doesn't like to just kind of give you a quick hit on a topic. He likes to sink his teeth into it and hold court and pontificate, and we love him for it. And when it's time for that, he does it better than anybody. But now it's the time to be brief, to be succinct, so we can cover a lot. So what I'm going to do is, when I turn the mic over to Keith, I got a stopwatch here. And once it hits 2 minutes, I'm going to turn on, as loud as I can here in the studio, the chorus to the Outsider song, Time Won't Let Me. And I'm just going to play it loud enough until Keith has to stop talking, and then we're going to go to the next story. But now, Keith, if you get it another 2 minutes, we just move on, and that's gravy. But at 2 minutes, you know,
I may be a Sphinx and give you a
one-word. Keith, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give me a one-word response. But let's have some fun here. It's a gimmick, but we'll see. I just want to see how much news we can cover, because we normally, you know, we're Southerners. We talk slow, and we provide our analysis slow. One story per hour sometimes. But here we go. Sonia Sotomayor visits Sesame Street. And this is a story that you provided us with, Keith. You tipped us on this. The militant liberal hag was indoctrinating the viewers of Sesame Street, telling the girls how important it is to pursue a career. Now, in the clip, which is available for you on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you see her with the Muppet Abby, and she asks Abby what she wants to be when she grows up, and Abby says she wants to be a princess. I mean, that's what most girls want to be. They want to grow up and get married and be in love and be a princess. Well, of course, and live happily ever after. Well, Sotomayor says, well, that's not a career. You need to be this, a judge or something important, something you can do for a long time. And presumably, this skit is intended to plant a seed in the minds of young girls that one day growing up to become a devoted wife, a loving mother, that's not something that's fashionable. The only way you can be happy and gain equality is if you wear pants, go to work, and be miserable and live a life that's naturally alien to you. That's the only way you can truly find happiness. You know, it's not the most hardcore of propaganda, but it's about as hard as you can put on a 2-year-old or however old you are when people are watching Sesame Street. Keith, your thoughts on Sonia Sotomayor's visit to Sesame Street?
Well, looking at Sonia Sotomayor, you can tell that being a princess was never an option for her. And unfortunately, in a sane world, being a judge would never be an option for somebody as mentally challenged as she is, too. She was an affirmative action hire throughout her career. The idea that, for example, they said that Clement Haynsworth wasn't qualified. Clement Haynsworth to be on the Supreme Court. He was 10 times more qualified than Sonia Sotomayor. Sonia Sotomayor had never had a job in the private sector, just like Elena Kagan. She had been nothing but a government employee and an academic, and she wouldn't have been either one of those things had it not been for the extreme affirmative action program that the United States has in place because of the triumph of liberalism. The most qualified people to be judges typically are white males. White males are the last people chosen nowadays. And as a result of that, we get people like Sonia Sotomayor, the so-called wise Latina, and she's poisoning your children. If you want your child to be a barren, self-important fraud like Sonia Sotomayor, let them watch Sesame Street. Get all their cues from Sesame Street. This is what the problem is in America today. When you let the television set and everything that comes in on the network airwaves be you, be the parent in your place, you're going to turn out a brain-dead liberal child. And that's what has happened. Keep your television screen, but just have DVDs and VHS cassettes and play that on them. Don't ever let your child watch anything on PBS, and in particular Sesame Street. This is Exhibit A as to why you don't need to let that happen to your child. This is child neglect, if not child abuse.
Keith, I was really hoping you would go over the two-minute mark so I could see your reaction when I, you know, jacked up the music in the studio. You actually got it at 2:02. It was 2 minutes, 2 seconds, but I knew you were wrapping up, so I gave you a little grace. Hey, you're doing it, man. This is it. Let's see what else we can get into. That's right. All right. And this is the new egalitarian movement. Gender is a social construct. Gender, it's not what you're born. It doesn't matter if you have a penis or a vagina. It's what you feel like. That's what determines your sex. You get to choose that. It's just, you know, that other stuff, your sex organs, that's make believe.
Irrelevant.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks owner is castrating himself on the altar of political correctness. Yes, Mark Cuban is Jewish.
Not Cuban.
You know, he's not Cuban. His name is not even Mark Cuban. That's what he calls himself, but it's like it was some Jewish name and they changed it to Cuban. But anyway.
What a fraud.
All right, there's a college basketball, women's college basketball. Apparently, they've got some stud at Baylor, a woman's stud, if you will. And
that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, an oxymoron. Anyway, he says he would draft her for the Dallas Mavericks. So this is a woman, and I don't know. And this isn't a racial thing. I mean, she's blackish, but I don't even. I don't even know if she's that. Have you ever seen Predator? I mean, she looks more like one of those things. I mean, not a man or a woman. I don't even know if that's human, but
not a princess.
No. But so Cuban says, yeah, I'm going to draft her. I'm going to draft her to play men's professional basketball because gender is a social construct. There is no such thing as man and woman. What a woman can do, a man can do, and what a man can do, a woman can do better. And, of course, after this came out, she came out. No pun intended. She got all this press because Cuban says he would draft her to play for the Mavericks. And she says, oh, great, yes. And while all the news cameras on her, by the way, I'm a lesbian. So she took advantage of that. Yeah, what a surprise if you looked at her picture. And, of course, the media is calling anyone who disagrees with this misogynistic. You are a misogynist, Keith, if you don't think that women should or could compete with men professionally in basketball.
Get the 2 minutes running. Let me tell you, this I am a proud misogynist. If I have, you know, and I think anyone with a lick of sense is going to be utterly, you know, revolted, will find this revolting. Could you imagine somebody, Mark Cuban, his whole life is a fraud. He is a Jew that tries to go through life as a Cuban, okay? And he is just like P.T. Barnum. He is willing to do anything. He would probably have a gorilla play in the NFL if he could get find a helmet to fit it, and he would let them play in some meaningless exhibition games so that he could fill the stands with curiosity seekers. Let me tell you, this is, you know, Mother Nature is going to call a halt to all this absurdity. Remember, I think it was the Roman poet Horace who said, you can drive nature out with a pitchfork, but she always hastens back. Well, put this 6'11" lesbian in there and see how long she lasts against Marc Gasol and you know, let's say who's the guy that plays for the Lakers?
Just say Shaq. I mean, can you see him against Shaq?
Yeah, I know. This is just, you know, this would be absurd. This would be that, you know, Mother Nature is going to put an end to all this foolishness, but the leftist media keeps serving this stuff up to us. Right now, they're busily trying to get some homosexual NFL players to come out so they can make them the latest poster childs for the liberal agenda.
Right, right.
And, of course, they don't want to do it because they know if they did it, they wouldn't last long in the league because there are people playing in the NFL, i.e. black people, that aren't very fond of homosexuals, and they would make short work of them if they did come out. But that doesn't offend or affect all of those other people in the Jewish media, Jake.
I got to push the button that time, and he wrapped a Keith Sipros pro. How much time do we have left to break? Never mind. I hear the song right now, so we'll be back with more. Hey, perfect timing, buddy. We'll be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American-first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one-world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Always happy together. I'm happy with the audience to be with you and to be with my good friend and brother, Keith Alexander. All right, Keith, so last couple of stories deal with gender roles as they are being redefined. Now, this is the one that takes the cake, though. A couple of weeks ago, we brought it to your attention here on the Political Cesspool that there was a man who had gender reassignment surgery. So basically, he cut off his you-know-what and is now, you know, wearing dresses and pretending to be a woman. You know, you can cut off anything you want to cut off. You can wear lipstick, but it's not going to change your DNA. All right, it's not going to change your chromosomes. You are either a male or a female by birth, by nature. It's not what you feel. But try to tell that to the progressive. So we told you about the guy that pretends to be a girl, and he's fighting in these women's mixed martial arts leagues. And he's going in there because naturally, because he's a guy, he's going in there and he's just, you know, knocking these women out in one punch and winning. Well, it's basically he's fighting in a women's league that's affiliated with the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And it's funny, the current female champion is upset about it, saying, well, it's not really fair. They're going to make me fight a guy, but I guess I have to defend my title, so, you know, I'll give it a shot. But a male in the UFC, a male fighter, a legitimate male fighter, was asked a question about this in a radio interview. And he said that it's sick. He said that this guy that's fighting in the women's league, pretending to be a woman, is a lying, sick, sociopathic, disgusting freak. That's pretty much right on. I mean, that's exactly what this person is. It said, because she's not a he. He's a he. He's chromosomally a man. He had a gender change, not a sex change. He's still a man. He was a man for 31 years. 31 years, that's a couple of years younger than I am, this fighter said. He's a man. 6 years of taking performance-enhancing drugs. You think that's going to change all that? It's ridiculous. And then he repeated, that is a lying, sick, sociopathic, disgusting freak. And Keith, here's what happened. The president of the UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, defended the man pretending to be a woman and suspended the fighter who said that it was a disgusting freak show, and said that they suspended the fighter because he was guilty of transphobia. He's scared of this person. That's what's coming. No, well, the person that was suspended was a male fighter in the UFC. Well, the woman didn't get in trouble for saying it. It's not fair, but I'll have to defend my title. That was just a side story. White male goes down again for calling this person what he is. He's suspended, guilty of transphobia. Meanwhile, the UFC defends this freak.
Well, it's emperor's new clothes. The child that has the guts to tell the emperor that he has no clothes is punished. And, of course, the primary subject of all the punishment is going to be a white male. I guarantee the guy that made the comments and was kicked out was a white male. Meanwhile, the female, who is a sick freak herself, because the only people, only women that are attracted to this type of activity, I mean 9 out of 10 of them are going to be homosexual women, lesbians. Now, you know, there was a guy named Charles Cavagnaro that used to be the athletic director of the University of Memphis who got into a lot of hot water in the 1980s when making comments about Title IX that said that you had to have as many women's sports slots, as men's sports slots, as many women's scholarships for athletics as you had men. He said that Title IX, which was requiring all that, was the Full Employment Act for lesbians. And he got in trouble for that, but truer words were never spoken. Not only is the transgendered male turned female a sick freak, the female who is the champion is, in my opinion, a sick freak too. Why can't women be women? Now, you know, they want everybody to accept homosexuality. Well, if men and women are just the same, why not be a homosexual? Well, the answer to that is that I don't care how many times the left says it, men and women are not the same. They're trying to make equal that which God has made different. And, you know, the problem with America and the world today is mannish women and effeminate men. And that's what keeps being shoved on us 24/7 by the leftist media, and that's why I say kick in your TV. Don't kick in your TV tube. Keep the TV screen there. Just play DVDs and VHS tapes and cut off everything that the cable or the satellite or the networks pump into your TV, because all of it is junk.
All right, Keith, I got another one for you. This, I tell you, 10 years almost we've been doing this show. It started in 04. And still, a story every so often comes across my desk that even makes my jaw drop, as jaded as I am and as hardened as I am after my time in the studio. Affirmative action has gone wild. We know what affirmative action is all about. It's about putting less qualified candidates ahead of those who should rightly receive the position, all in the name of diversity. But it's gone wild in Phoenix. Phoenix, the city of Phoenix, is recruiting non-white lifeguards even if they can't swim. Here's the story. I mean, folks, did you hear what I just said? In a staggering case of affirmative action gone wild, the story reads, officials in Phoenix are actually recruiting minorities to be lifeguards at public school, at public pools, even if they can't swim. It's all in the name of diversity. To diversify the lifeguard force, Phoenix will spend thousands of dollars to recruit minorities, even if they can't swim, according to an official quoted in a news report. Blacks, Latinos, and Asians who may not necessarily qualify to be a lifeguard can still get hired, says the city official, who adds that we will work with them in learning to be able to swim. There's a good reason, the city says, that they're hiring lifeguards that can't swim. Public pools are largely used by Latino and African-American kids, but most of the lifeguards are white, and that creates a huge problem. See, it's a bigger problem. It's a big problem to have white lifeguards that can swim. And in fact, that's a bigger problem than having non-white lifeguards that can't swim. The story says, it concludes, it reads, I guess you would say, the kids in the pool are either Hispanic or black or whatever, and every lifeguard is white, and we don't like that, says a Phoenix official. She added, the kids don't relate, and there's language issues. So that's it, Keith. I don't know about you, but if I was drowning, I'd probably prefer to have a lifeguard who could swim. But you really sum this story up by just saying simply, America is a sick, truly sick country.
Yeah, that Phoenix official doesn't like the fact that white people might be better than non-white people at something, such as swimming. Remember when they had the YouTube viral video of the Olympic swimmer from Equatorial Africa that basically everyone else in his preliminary heat had scratched, so all he had to do was finish the race and he would make it to the finals. He almost drowned swimming one length of the swimming pool in back, trying to qualify to get in the finals. Now, equality is a dream of the left. Equality is not reality, and this shows it. I had a son who was a lifeguard one time, and he said that he always feared when he was at a country club, and he said some guilty white liberal woman would always bring a gaggle of black kids several times a summer to the swimming pool. And when they did, they had to be on high alert because these black kids would get up on the high dive, jump off, and then apparently as soon as they hit the water, realize they didn't know how to swim. He said that it was important that you let them struggle a while before you save them. Otherwise, if you just jumped in there and saved them right away, they would keep jumping in and making you rescue them every time. Kind of a paradigm for the welfare society that we live in. The more white people do for non-white people, the less non-white people do for themselves, just as in that situation. Now, this is, you know, if this woman doesn't like the fact that they don't have non-white lifeguards, I imagine she's going to like it even less when one of these black kids drowns in the swimming pool because of her willful ignoring of reality, which is that you need to have lifeguards that can swim and swim strongly in order to protect people in your swimming pool. So I tell you, it's just around the corner. Wait till it happens, man, and it's all going to hit the fan, and she's going to feel like she's an innocent victim when she's a guilty miscreant.
I mean, what kind of I want to stay on this for just a second because we don't have enough time left in the segment to get to a new story. We'll get to that after the break as we start to wrap things up for the program this evening. But What kind of liberalism is a mental disease? It's a mental disorder. There is something wrong. There's something sick in the minds of people who think like this. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be funny. Their brains don't work right. To say that it is a bigger problem to have white lifeguards protecting non-white swimmers than it is to have non-white lifeguards who can't swim, lording over a pool. Keith, they should be committed.
It shows you that they care more about their liberalism than about the lives of the people that are under their care.
We'll be back to wrap things up right after this. Stay tuned.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food during the Freeze-Dry Guy Mix and Match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. You know, I tell you what, I was talking to Keith about the 2-minute time limit so we could boogie through some stories, never thinking that he would actually hit the mark every time. And if he does it again, I'm going to run out of stories before the end of this segment. Well, he's going to deplete my reserves. But I got one here for you, Keith. Another fake hate crime exposed in Virginia. Now, every now and then, there will be a white person that goes out and does something stupid. Every now and then, not nearly as often as the left would like, and certainly not nearly as often as whites are the victims. But every now and then, sure, it happens. But for every one so-called hate crime where it involves a white perpetrator and a non-white victim, there are 1,000 hate hoaxes from non-whites trying to cash in on 10,000 hate crimes of blacks against whites and 1,000 fake hate crimes of non-whites trying to get publicity and attention and money. Yeah, it's a shakedown. It's a fraud. Well, the latest happened from a black minister in Virginia, Chesterfield, Virginia. Here's what the story reads. The paragon of righteousness that he was. A minister at a Virginia church faces charges of setting his house and car on fire. It's kind of like in the Swindle Whites movement, which is what we're going to be calling the civil rights movement henceforth, the Swindle Whites movement. When the blacks got upset at law enforcement officials, they'd go back to their neighborhoods and burn it down. I mean, you know, just you saw it a lot back in those days. I mean, I don't understand. And whites were blamed for it, or at least for provoking them to do that. But this isn't something new. But nevertheless, he did this to cash in on what he hoped would be, hate crime sympathy. Maybe it was an insurance thing. But anyway, this black minister sets his house and car on fire. Chesterfield County, Virginia police had investigated the fires as a possible hate crime because a racial slur had been painted on the house by this guy. I mean, you know, he spray paints his house, well, with, I'm sure, what was the N-word, and then sets it on fire. Police believe that the 41-year-old Olander Cuthrell, who is black, painted the slurs on his home before he set it on fire. They have charged him with 2 felony counts of arson after a joint investigation with the FBI was concluded. They treat these allegations of hate crimes as serious matters. It says that this fellow was the minister of music at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And so that's it. So, you know, next week there'll be another one. But Keith, your thoughts on the phenomenon of fake hate crimes?
What a paragon of moral rectitude this black minister is. Unfortunately, he is too common among the black clergy. Being a black clergyman is not something that is exclusive province of paragons of moral rectitude. Basically, any large building in the ghetto that's left after the white people leave, like a car dealership in Memphis, for example, morphs into a church because it's the only business you can go into where the only inventory you need is hot air. And that's why you see so many churches in the black community. And they shut down, they prey upon the females in their congregation for sex and on the males and females for money. It's a shakedown. And this guy is unfortunately too typical of what you get in the black clergy too often. Now, again, it was probably an insurance shakedown, but he wanted to cast blame on the perennial targets, the people that are supposed to be guilty of all evil, white people. And of course, we have a law called the Hate Crimes Law passed by Congress last year. It was 43 times brought up in Congress, voted down 43 times, and on the 44th try, it passed. The left is like the devil. They never sleep. They never get discouraged. They are relentless. And they pass these things. And of course, if you read the language of the hate crimes law, it's race neutral. But in practice, it is never brought against the real perpetrators of hate crimes, interracial crimes, motivated by hate. 1,000 to 1, those crimes are black on white. They're looking for a white on black crime so that they can reinforce the lessons of political correctness on all of us, which is that white people are guilty. White people are such a problem for black people that black people need special legal protections, and don't confuse them with the facts.
Keith is amazing tonight. I mean, this is phenomenal. I barely got to push the song, and he
cut it off.
But you said everything that needed to be said. Yeah. I mean, we're not sacrificing content for time. I mean, folks, the show's been incredible tonight. I mean, from start to finish, it's just been. But so this is the case, of course, of a fake hate crime
by a fake pastor.
But meanwhile, back in the real world, two white tourists went down to Brazil and ended up being kidnapped and raped in Rio de Janeiro by two blacks, and I don't know what this other guy is. I guess
three men with a deep tan.
A night out of the town turned into a nightmare after an American woman was gang-raped and beaten aboard a public transport van while her French boyfriend was handcuffed, hit with a crowbar, and forced to watch the attacks, police said. The three men, we have pictures of them. We have their mugshots at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The three men have been taken into custody. They were all in their early 20s.
All appear to be black
for the crime, which took place over the course of 6 hours. And see, this is like that the case in Knoxville that I was on CNN to talk about one time. The police said that this incident surprised even them. The brutality of it was so shocking. So in the end, reality always trumps propaganda, Keith. In the make-believe world that this Virginia pastor lived in, you have racist whites going around spray painting homes and setting them on fire when, in fact, he did it. But in the real world, this is what happens, and this is what did happen.
Yep, and it doesn't matter how many times it happens, the news media will never acknowledge it. They will never acknowledge the truth because the truth doesn't fit their agenda. Can't you understand, can't you get it through your stupid little head, America and the world, that it doesn't matter what your lying eyes and ears tell you, the reality is that white people are violent criminals. Non-white people are innocent victims. Now, if you think that is not true and it's backwards, that just shows that you have a sick mind, and you need to be subjected to the tender ministrations of what cultural Marxism calls the therapeutic state. And unfortunately, way too many whites are succumbing to this. We see white people all the time who feel like they have to assuage their inflicted upon or their, you know, this specious false white guilt by all sorts of good deeds in the ghetto and all sorts of self-flagellation. And it's absurd. People, snap out of it. Get out of the spell. Realize that you are good people. We need to have people who are proud to be white, proud of the accomplishments of the white race, who throw back the lies of liberalism and political correctness into the teeth of their detractors. All you have to do is be firmly committed to reality and common sense.
Keith Alexander, as always, my friend, incredible performance tonight from the Confederate History Month series. We just covered, folks, about 8 fairly significant news stories. And for us, record time, as Southerners, we talk slow. We think slow, but we think accurately, and we think smartly. Next week, we wrap up Confederate History Month. We are going to continue to provide our unique opinion and analysis on the situations in Boston. And Keith, we have about a minute left, maybe 2 minutes. I want you to say a quick word for the respect and admiration we have, not just for our entire listening audience, but for one listener in particular this evening who we're going to single out from Florida. We're not going to give his name, but he's been corresponding with us, offering critiques of each show. And I tell you, this man, I've had the chance to talk to him a few times on the phone. He is a genius. And, well, really all of our audience is. Everyone that I've met is just above average intelligence. But this guy, it would just fill in the blanks.
We call him King Curtis, and we won't say anything more than that. But let me tell you, we have the best audience in the world. We get the best feedback. We have the smartest people who listen to this show religiously. And let me tell you, it's humbling to realize that we have people this smart who like to tune in every week. Nobody's making them do this. They're not getting credit for it in some type of bogus course at some community college. They're doing it because they think we're giving them the truth, and the truth will set you free. We will see you all back here 6 days and 21 hours from today. We'll be back, and we'll be loaded and ready for bear.
Good night, everybody. For Keith, I'm James. God bless y'all. Good night.